This is JLPT Bootcamp, the ultimate guide to passing the JLPT in less time with less pain. This is the JLPT Bootcamp podcast with your host, Mac. This happens to be episode 94 of the podcast. And I hope everyone's doing okay. Sweating through the summer here in lovely Kyoto, Japan. Keeping up my progress with new Kanzen Master. The big difference, I would say, with new Kanzen Master compared to the Soe Motome series is that there's a lot of focus on strategies, test strategies, listening strategies. Some of those strategies are incredibly useful and really something that you really need to learn to score very well on the test, especially at the N1 level. But some of them, I feel like the strategies are, this sounds kind of bad, but they're really good for real life situations, but not very useful for the actual test because it kind of teaches you to, basically, in the book, you're making more notes than you ever really would for the test, and so you're spending more time making notes than you are answering the question, which doesn't really make it all that useful. I guess their point is that they want to show you, kind of lay out how to go about thinking about the listening and how to eliminate answers and go through and narrow things down to the answer that you should put on the test. And so in that way, it's actually a lot more difficult than the actual test because they ask more open-ended questions. They don't give you multiple choices on some of them, so it's kind of good. I took the N2 version of it, and it increased my listening score for the N2 by about 6 points, I think, 6 or 7 points, just that one book. I didn't do the Soe Motome for N2. So it does pack in a lot of good strategies, and I would say if you have to choose, I would go with new Kanzen Master over the Soe Motome. The listening book for this is a little bit easier. Maybe I'm just used to the language in their wording, and so I've gotten kind of used to their explanations. I think it's a little bit easier read than the N2 was, the N2 listening book. But pretty good book. Recommend it if you are taking N1. I'll, of course, have a full review of that when I'm finished. To let you know the ins and outs of that book. In general, on other fronts here, I'm kind of starting to put vocabulary on the back burner a little bit. I am still studying about, I don't know, I think somewhere around 30 or 40 minutes a day doing vocabulary stuff. But in general, I'm not really trying to push myself, trying to push in new words. I figure I can pick up a lot of that from reading, from going through the listening exercise books and picking up words that I don't know out of the listening and reviewing that. And hopefully I'll pick up even more vocabulary in the reading textbooks that I need for the test. But I feel like when I did take the N1 exam, vocabulary for me, and in my opinion, wasn't really a big problem. I've heard from other people that N1, the biggest barrier really is vocabulary. And I would say I kind of know the vocabulary, but maybe just getting used to it a little bit more, being able to kind of automatically recognize it and understand it is something that I need to work on going into the test. I also feel like recently that my speaking is starting to go down, my speaking in Japanese, mostly because the other day I went in to just mail a package home, and I had a little bit of difficulty just, you know, explaining some basic stuff, you know, what's in the package, and, you know, understanding some of the questions, perfectly. I mean, I understood out of context, but I felt a little embarrassed that I was a little awkward at the post office, more awkward than I should be, so to speak. But I'd really like to. I'm starting to feel right now that I really want to get this test out of the way, the speaking, the reading out of the way, or the reading and the listening out of the way, sorry, and so I can focus more on speaking and becoming a lot more fluent speaker in Japanese. So just want to get this test out of the way, get it done, and start practicing some speaking. But anyway, want to move on to the main topic today is running into obstacles. And a couple weeks ago, I guess, I talked about being in a slump, and that, and how to get out of a slump, and we all hit those plateaus and things. But today I want to talk a little bit about just hitting small little obstacles along the way. Not a full-scale slump, just hitting something like, for example, like a grammar point or a vocabulary word that you just can't lock into your head. Whether it's something that somebody went over in your class, if you're taking classes, or something that you came across in your books when you're doing some self-study work. You're going to you're always going to hit a grammar point. I think one of the first things you really run into learning Japanese is the difference between wa and ga. Those two particles, they don't really have an equivalent in English, and they don't really have an equivalent in a lot of other languages if English is not your native language. And so, it's really hard to understand that concept. And if you are at a beginner level and you're fretting about the difference between wa and ga, that's, even at the N2 level, that's still a problem. Wa and ga, just the nuances and how to use it and in what different situations and in what kind of sentence structures do you use wa and ga, you're going to battle that for a while. And so it's important when you hit one of these big obstacles, whether it's particles, if you're at N5, those are huge obstacles when you're at kind of the beginner level. For me, when I got into N3, N2 level, it was the difference between mono and koto, and what's the difference between mono de wa nai and mono ga nai, and all those different phrases using mono. I can't even remember them all. There's got to be at least 10 or 20 of them. What's the difference between all the different koto phrases? Those were a real, speed bump, because they had these fine little nuances between them. Realistically, if you kind of look up mono and you look up koto in the dictionary, they have pretty much similar definitions. They're a little bit different, but on the surface, if you don't really dig too deep, they seem kind of the same particle, and so they can just drive you nuts. And so it's really important, I think, as if you are a self-learner, when I first started out, I sometimes felt a little shy about asking for help, even to my Japanese coworkers. I mean, they were right there. Some of you I know that are listening to this, you live in the States, you live in India, you live in Germany, or you live in the UK or whatnot, and you don't have easy access to a Japanese native speaker. And so it can be quite, you look at people like us that are living here and you go, well, why didn't you just ask them? But you get kind of, shy, or I don't even know what was stopping me before, but I feel like you really need to, go ask natives, and not ask them why or explain really the grammar rules, because they're not teachers. But ask them to just try to give you some examples and just try to, you know, experiment with the grammar point until you've really kind of hit that sweet spot. And this is where a tutor is really useful if you do self-study work. Notice I said a tutor and not a teacher. Some people really like a teacher because everything's very well laid out and they're guiding you through the whole process. Others like to do self-study, but they want to kind of check base, basically, with an authority. And that's what a tutor is really useful for. I had a tutor when I first started out when I was first learning Japanese, and just constantly was asking her questions, trying to use Japanese as much as possible with her, even explaining some of the grammar points and things. And that's what really kind of pushed me across the threshold. You don't really exactly have to have a class, just a native speaker to talk to, and is incredibly valuable, worth every penny. And you might also want to go ahead and buy another textbook that covers the exact same material. A lot of people might think this is a complete waste of money because it's like, well, I already bought this book, it's supposed to have everything for my level of the test. But I tend to buy, at least for grammar, I tend to buy two books for every level. I think I've gotten every book in. On top of that, I have the dictionaries of Japanese grammar. I have like a dictionary of expressions. I have at least two or three different sources I can turn to if I have a particular problem with a particular Japanese phrase. So it's explained to me three different ways, basically. And so between those three different ways, hopefully I can find an answer to, you know, why it's not really clicking in my head, so to speak. The other option here is to just leave it for later. And some people that are studying for the JLPT might think that, well, if you skip this particular grammar point, then that's, that one grammar point that you skipped is going to be on the test. You know what I'm saying? And it might just well be. But the thing is here is you might as well spend, good quality time on other grammar points, other vocabulary, other skills, than trying to, beat your head against a wall trying to understand one particular grammar point. The other reason why I say leave it is because in some cases you can go back to that same grammar point 2 months, 3 months later, and it'll just click for whatever reason. For whatever reason, the 3 months ago you just weren't in the right frame of mind to grasp that grammar point for what it, maybe you didn't get your you didn't eat your Wheaties that day, so to speak. Also, if you leave it for later, it might come up in another drill book if you've bought another book, or it might come up some native materials that you are reading through. If you're at a higher level, if you're at N4, N3, or above, you're probably reading through some native materials, and it'll probably pop up there. Or it might pop up in, for example, some alternative materials that aren't exactly focused on the test. For example, I usually do a lot of listening with Japanese Pod 101. I've mentioned that probably 100 times on the blog. And one of the main reasons why is, Japanese Pod 101 doesn't follow any kind of JLPT, lesson plan or grammar, whatnot. But it's good to have that kind of background out of the JLPT, structure kind of background for you to look at the grammar points from a different light and understand it that way. So at least that's what I do to try to wrap my head around some stubborn grammar or some stubborn vocabulary. And I'm going to leave you with that. I'd like to know, though, from you, what do you do when you hit an obstacle? What do you do when you hit a grammar point or a vocabulary word that just won't click? Do you take the time to kind of learn it? Look up example sentences, for example. Do you write a story about it? Do you draw a picture? I'd like to know. Please stop by the website at jlptbootcamp.com. This happens to be episode 94. You can leave me a comment for this particular podcast at the bottom there, or you can click on the Contact Me button up at the top and send me an email that way. Or if you prefer, you can just email me, mac@jlptbootcamp.com. So that's it. Just a little bit of news. I'm going to be doing some changes to the website. I'm going to be offering some different options for some people that want to kind of take their studying to the next level. Pretty soon, hopefully by the time that this podcast comes out, there will be an option to upgrade to a premium level. And that premium site will have some extra features, some extra goodies for those that want to kind of get ahead in their studies. Anyway, all the details for that will be on the blog. I'm going to write up a special blog post that details all the goodies and gives you a little bit of a peek into what that is going to look like. So stay tuned. Visit the site for more details, and I will talk to you next week. Have a good week studying. To claim your free 21-page ebook on the 5 biggest mistakes people make on the JLPT, as well as more tips and tricks to help you pass the Japanese language proficiency test, come visit me at jlptbootcamp.com.